You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to another episode of the Talking Blues podcast. I'm Josh, and I'm joined by both of my co-hosts, Alex and Peter, here to discuss this early morning or early afternoon matchup between Chelsea and West Ham United, a 3-2 victory for East London, and we are not happy. So we will get into it. A 2-1 scoreline at halftime heading towards Chelsea's way. And two goals in a row for West Ham to lead them towards victory. Chelsea still sitting first at this moment with no other matches going on in the Premier League in first place. Well, West Ham still do sit in fourth, but it's not so much about that. It's more about the London rivalry. And when West Ham is able to beat Chelsea, it's a bigger deal than Chelsea being able to beat West Ham. So we'll get into it. But anyway, I mean, as you could tell from my lack of happiness, I'll say the least, I'll transition to my co-hosts and see how they are feeling. So Alex, Peter, how are you guys doing?
Oh, I want to say I'm doing good, but obviously, like Josh, I'm not that excited. It was obviously a bad loss, and we had to wake up at 7:30 to see this bad loss, which just makes it even worse. Because now I'm extremely tired and I had to sit through that and watch us just completely just shoot ourselves in the foot. Not good. But at least I don't even know if there's any positives. Just bad.
I'd say Peter and I's facial expressions and clear tiredness on our faces describe everything that you need to know. And, you know, Josh looks up and at it. I don't know how he does, but his tone isn't. But his look is, whereas Peter and I look like we just rolled out of bed. And I mean, I'd say for this match, it was a tough, tough loss. Obviously the goals for them, obviously the Jorginho making a terrible pass again back to Mendy. Mendy could have just booted it right out, like, you know, first time or second time, instead tried to, like, I don't know what the hell he was doing, something. And then obviously that great goal from Jared Bowen, which, you know, we couldn't really do much about. And then obviously the last goal by Masuaku, I mean, I don't know what to say, to be honest. It was just a lucky shot, and Mendy just, you know, ended up being not there, if that makes any sense.
I think it is, you know, how football works is a mysterious and wonderful thing at some points, depending on what side you're on. And to see how Bowen basically led to the first goal with his penetration of Edouard Mendy, leading to his team and his teammate, Lanzoni, right? No, Lanzini, scoring his first, getting the first goal of the match for West Ham. And then for him to get the second one, you know, it's just how football works. So I don't know, that just stood out to me as something that happened earlier in this match, in the 40th minute with the penalty and then the 56th minute with the goal by Bowen. A great job by him, though, just not fouling Mendy on that play, kind of just sticking with it, because he could have easily just went in there. Mendy could have gotten the free kick. But I also, because we're going to go through player ratings again later, we did it last match. Alex and I did so, and we kind of enjoyed it, having him guessing and I kind of go through it. And hearing the disgust from Alex about how low the rating is compared to he thinks it should have been higher. We'll see if it's similar to what we see today. But I think this is going to be a low one for Mendy, just from thinking about it, because he could have easily just, you know, kicked it out by that point. I understand there's a player on him, but he did have a few seconds there where he was able to make it clear. He decided not to, and it resulted in him giving up a penalty. So, you know, big issue there. I think he could have been better in this match. You know, I think the goal, and as much of an odd one as it was, he could have made the save if he was... I don't want to say if he was in a better position. It was just an all-around just bad way to end this match. I mean, I think Alex already touched on that, but I just like to kind of reassure that that was the case. Just a bad goal to give up and a bad way for this match to end. And, you know, past that 87th minute.
I mean, I'll kind of touch on the goals too. I kind of go similarly to you, Josh. I think the third goal, I think you definitely have to put some blame on Mendy for that, because he was expecting the cross. And it wasn't even a deflection. I know it looked like a deflection because it had like weird spin and the motion of the ball was just weird overall. But I mean, he just reacted so late. He looked in for a cross, was ready for a cross, but the ball was already like almost in the net when he started the dive. So he ended up just hitting it back into his own net. He couldn't get there in time, which we rarely see from him. Usually he's very good at those. Obviously, as a whole, letting in three goals, he almost never does. But especially when some of his errors are the causes for those goals. The first one, he had three chances. He had to just clear it. One on the first pass back. Yes, Jorginho also should get some blame because I don't know what he's doing there. That was just not good. But, I mean, he could have cleared it out first time. He could have, he took a touch, probably could have cleared it out then. And then he tried to shield Bowen off, which worked because then he took a touch and could have cleared it. But then he tried to take another touch and that's when it went bad. I mean, it was just not good from him. We know he's so good. We know he's the best goalie in the world. Like, it's just not good from him. And then the second goal, I mean, that was just a great finish. You can't really do anything about that. I mean, I think he probably could have gotten there, but I think he thought that Christensen, I mean, the shot went through his legs. I think he thought Christensen kind of had that angle covered. So maybe that was a bit of his fault for that. I don't know. Overall, I mean, it's probably his worst game we've seen from him in a Chelsea shirt. I mean, because he's just been great pretty much every other appearance. So, I mean, we know how good he is. He'll bounce back. It'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll bounce back. It's just so upsetting.
It's not something you expect from a goalkeeper of his caliber, especially the way he's played for the past two seasons for Chelsea ever since he's come to this club. It's not something you think when you roll out of bed this morning for us, you know, so early that, oh yeah, Mendy's going to give up three goals today. What, really? No, you're lying. So it's just like you don't expect it whatsoever.
And I thought in general, Alonso had another poor game. It's so weird with him. It's kind of like we're so biased to that right-hand side with Reece James that, you know, Alonso's one-on-one a lot of times with Soufal or whoever it is, whatever game we're playing. It's just that Alonso can't beat his man. He's basically just there. He's like Jorginho on the left wing. And it's really just like there's no point of him being there at all. He doesn't offer anything defensively. And going forward, he doesn't really offer anything either. So I don't understand at this point why you wouldn't start Callum Hudson-Odoi at left wing back. Like, why not? You know, we have all these talented attackers. And Callum Hudson-Odoi, if we're being completely honest with ourselves, is he any worse defensively than Marcus Alonso? Probably not. Not much.
I got to say, twice he got completely bodied off the ball and gave them good chances. It easily could have been 3-2 before the winner because Antonio, Odoi tried to go back, but then Antonio just bodied him off the ball, put a good cross in Bowen, almost finished it, just missed it. And that happened again, I think. It might have happened beforehand, and that was the second time. But, I mean, he barely touched the ball, but I mean, like you said, we played to the right-hand side, but he also just looked bad defensively. He got into the right positions. He used his speed, but he just isn't physical enough to go up against someone like Antonio, who's physically strong like that.
I get it, but then you say he's not able to battle physically, but then Marcus Alonso's not able to battle for pace. So it's kind of a give and take there, and I'd probably rather have the pace and then the attacking upside on the other side. That's just kind of the way I see it. So we'll see what Tuchel does, but it was just, I wouldn't even necessarily say we played bad today. It was just, we made two key errors and that really cost us the game. You know, I'm as much as I'm, you know, furious and upset, there's kind of nothing you can do. It was a lot of fault on just a couple players. It wasn't really generally a team mess up.
And you look.
Team mess up. That doesn't make any sense, but continue.
Team error.
Team error. Yeah, there we go. It wasn't necessarily a bad team performance. There we go.
So, I mean, you look ahead to what comes next for the other clubs in the Premier League. And, you know, when listening to the end of the MEC broadcast today, Rebecca Lowe just said that Chelsea, their first place in doubt or along those words. Because you look, you have Liverpool Wolves playing as we record. You have Watford Man City playing later for lunchtime where we are. And then you have Manchester United tomorrow playing against Crystal Palace. So, well, are they 1-2-3? It's Chelsea, Liverpool, and Man City. Is it in that order? I think so. Man United, not really that big of a deal. But you look to the other two that are right behind us in Liverpool playing a lesser side in Wolves. And a Man City side playing a lesser opponent in Watford. So you look and you see that they are only 2-3 points behind us. It's a little nerve wracking. One actually. So it's a little nerve wracking, to say the least. And I think that Chelsea could be in third by the end of this weekend, and that's a scary sight to think about. It's a scary sight to see when you look at the table. And you hope that it ends out being okay. You hope there's some upsets, but I don't think so. We'll have to see though. Going over the match stats, 63% to 36% when it comes to possession. Chelsea leading that. Shots on target 7-5, 11-19, 19-11 in shots in total. Both dominated by Chelsea. Passes, Chelsea won by almost over 200. 570 to 328. You know, it always looks like Chelsea is dominating in possession, and they were, but I think again, just with the pure chances that West Ham were able to create, I wouldn't say it was in their own half, but they were in their own half most of the match, or the second half, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. It's like stuff is just coming on top as I speak here. Anyway, tackles 12-6. West Ham dominated that, and then corners 9-1. Chelsea led there. Yellow cards 3-1. Chelsea led that. So there were some fuming late in this game. Obviously, the Christensen really kind of was the last yellow card handed out, and besides that, that was really it there that I can think of for yellow cards. But Are we ready to go to the player ratings? Do you guys have anything else before we go to that on this match?
Not really. No, I was just shaking my head and I was like, no, but he's just going to sit there. And no one's going to figure out what's going on. So no, nothing else.
I was taking a drink. I need a little break. I thought you guys were going to help me out there. It's okay.
Oh, sorry.
So basically, what we did last time, Peter, and I mean, I already kind of explained it, but I just will again, just real quick. So basically we're going to maybe incorporate this a little more into our podcast and do some player ratings. Have you guys guess what the rating is going to be? And then we're using the Fan Nation Absolute Chelsea site. And if you guys disagree with the rating, we will kind of take a look at some other medias, some other articles or newspapers. We looked at the Evening Standard or the Sun and just saw if they had any different to compared to what you guys thought. So like, for example, let's just say it was like Mason Mount, you thought was a 7, Absolute Chelsea gave him a 5. You know, maybe we'll look at another site and see what they think. But anyway, let's start off with the goalkeeper, Edouard Mendy. Peter, your score for him out of 10 would be a
2 or 3. I'll go 3. But I mean, he really didn't make any saves and he basically let the 2 goals against. So maybe not 2. But I don't know how generous they are.
They weren't two. So generous last time.
Okay, well then 2.
Okay, Alex?
4.
So right in the middle there, we meet with Edouard Mendy getting a 3 out of 10. We move on to our back line. Andreas Christensen. Alex, you start here.
5.
Peter?
I'll go 6. I thought he was pretty solid. He was one of our best center backs against the ball well.
Yeah, it was a 5 for Andreas Christensen. From Absolute Chelsea there. Thiago Silva, the only thing that I can think of was there was a few times in the beginning of the first half, a little bit earlier, I think around the 20th minute or so, I don't remember exactly, that he kind of gave the ball up mistakenly, but then came back, scored an absolute wonder of a header, came back again down the other side of the pitch and stopped the ball that went past Edouard Mendy. So just pointing out a few things that happened that came to my mind when I saw this name. But Peter, Thiago Silva, you gave him, or you project that they will give him a.
If Christensen was a 5, he has to be a 6.
Alex?
I'm going to go 7.
Thiago Silva was actually given an 8.
Nice. So
very highly awarded, in this part of our back line. Antonio Rudiger, Alex?
6.
Peter?
5.
It was a 5 for Antonio Rudiger. Moving on to our right wing back, Reece James. They mentioned it again in this broadcast when I was watching the debate of the right wing back. Who's going to play for England? Who's it going to be? What was Reece James given, Peter? What was his rating? Or was it Alex goes first? Alex? No? I'm forgetting.
I don't know. I'm going to go 7, but 7. There you go.
Peter.
I'll also go 7.
It was a 6 awarded to Reece James coming off of his performance. Jorginho, we'll run through this quicker. Let's go. Jorginho, Loftus-Cheek. Alex, you go first with, did you go Jorginho, then Loftus-Cheek, your predictions?
Jorginho, a 3. Loftus-Cheek, a 5.
Okay.
Peter. I'll go Jorginho, a 4. Loftus-Cheek, a 6.
Jorginho was awarded a 5 and Loftus-Cheek was rated a 7. I would say awarded, honestly. Awarded. Really good for him, I guess. Yeah. Marcus Alonso, Hakim Ziyech. Peter?
Alonso, 2. Ziyech, 7.
That's a personal thing.
Alonso, a 5. Ziyech, a 6.
More realistic, yeah. Marcus Alonso got a 6 out of 10, while Hakim Ziyech got awarded an 8 out of 10. And we move on to our attacking midfielders, basically, or our center forward here. Mason Mount, Kai Havertz. Peter?
I think depends how much they value Kai Havertz only playing in the first half, but I think they both get 8s.
I was going to go Mount 9. Havertz 8.
Very close, Alex. Mount got a 9. Mason Mount did get a 9 here. Kai Havertz awarded a 7.
That's fair.
Only playing in the first half. They did not give a rating to Christian Pulisic coming off the bench, but they did for Romelu Lukaku and Callum Hudson-Odoi. That rating was the same for both of them. So what was it?
5.
4.
Correct. 4. 4 for both Romelu Lukaku and Callum Hudson-Odoi coming off the bench. So anyway, if you enjoyed that segment, let us know on Twitter or in a comment here on YouTube if you're watching, or you can also leave like your 5 stars and then just let us know what you think of it. Maybe we'll do it more often. We're kind of seeing, you know, also we kind of mentioned, I don't know if it was Peter or Alex, we're like, oh yeah, remember we did the player of the matches last season? You know, I want to bring that back, although there was no player of the match here. And if you were going to award it to one person, it would probably be Mason Mount. Although I don't think if we do bring it back, we shouldn't give player of the games to in losses because there's no reason for it. So that's just my thoughts there. Chelsea plays then. You guys have anything else?
Nothing really else to say besides it was just a very upsetting day or morning. The day hasn't even really begun yet, but.
That is very true.
God.
Well, anyway, the Chelsea woman, I'll go to that now. My little Chelsea update here. No need for music because it's just like kind of a quick thing. They're going to be playing in the FA Women's Cup tomorrow at 9 a.m. against Arsenal. That is going to be the final, I believe, for that game. So look forward to that tomorrow, 9 a.m. for us. So then 1 p.m. UK time. And then we move on to, right? No, 2 p.m. UK time. Yeah, 2 p.m. UK time. Then we move on to the UEFA Women's Champions League group stage match day 5 out of 6 against Juventus. They're going to be playing them Wednesday, December 8th at 3 p.m. So then that is, let me make sure I'm doing that right too, 8 p.m. For everyone watching in the UK. So that's your little update on the Chelsea's women's side. They're second in the Women's Super League right now, so doing very well. And I believe only a point behind Arsenal women. So good for them. For Chelsea men's, we will have your next episode probably as a recap against Zenit, because at that point we will know if Chelsea placed right after that match, because they all play at the same time, I want to say. We will know, right, because they don't want to spoil it for any team. We'll know after that match who is top of the table. We already know that Chelsea obviously is going to move on, but top of the table is a little more sweet. So we'll know then. So look forward to a recap on Thursday. Anyway, for now, please subscribe, drop a like, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen, YouTube, if you're watching on there, we really appreciate it. Thumbs up. And then 5 stars is basically your way of thumbsing up the episode, if that's not even a word, on Apple Podcasts. And then follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Talking Blues Pod, shipitstudios.com/talkingblues, at shipitstudios.com/talkingblues. That's all of our links on there. So we appreciate you listening to this sad episode of the Talking Blues Podcast, West Ham 3, Chelsea 2. We'll be back hopefully for a win against Zenit. And a win of the group in the UEFA Champions League. But for now, for Alex, for Peter, I'm Josh, and we will see you next time.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.